You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, when we think about our daily lives, they include many choices. Sometimes the choice might come down to either doing it my way or doing it God's way. What should we do? We have a problem as people, as Christian people, because we have the old nature saying, do it my way, and then we have also the new nature saying, do it God's way. Let's understand that our way can make a lot of sense to us. It can even feel right to us, but let us also know, on the other hand, that God's way is truly right. God's way is truly best. What should motivate us to go in the right direction? We could say to ourselves, hey, I'm already on my way to heaven, so I can do whatever, right? Well, let's think about it. We have all fallen into sin. Therefore, we all deserve, according to God's word, we all deserve eternal punishment. And yet, what has God done? God has sent his Son, and he has done everything to remove our sins. He has done everything to make the way to heaven. He has done everything to bless us now and forever. So may God fill us with thanksgiving, and may he compel us to listen to our Lord Jesus Christ, not only hearing, but understanding, and also following whatever he says. In today's sermon from Matthew chapter 5, keep in mind, Jesus is addressing his disciples. He is talking to people like you and me who know they are sinners and who believe in him as their Savior. In today's section of Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is going to do is he's going to touch on four different topics. So topics that people were familiar with, but then he's going to expand on them further. So what we see over and over again with each topic, he states it, and then he says the phrase, but I say to you. So again, you're familiar with it this way, but let me tell you more, is really what we have going on here today. As Jesus states what the people know already, most of them are probably thinking, oh, I haven't done that, I'm okay. But Jesus is going to help them understand, maybe you haven't done it this way, but you have done it in your heart, and therefore you have fallen short, and you are guilty, and you are deserving of eternal punishment. So he wants us to know that even minor sins, even things that people don't even call sin in the world today, he wants us to know that those can send us to a horrible place forever. Going to our text here, again, we're in Matthew chapter 5, going to verse 21, and we find here Jesus touching on the fifth commandment. He said, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Pretty strong words, isn't it? Think about it. We know what murder is. Murder is one person unlawfully ending the life of another person. What Jesus said there is, not only is the fifth commandment actually putting someone to death, the fifth commandment is also broken when we get angry or when we insult someone. Now, if you think about anger and insult, are you going to end up in prison for those types of things? Are you even going to incur any temporal punishment in this world for those things? Probably not. However, though, Jesus is saying that anger and insult will bring eternal punishment. So for us, we might say, no big deal, but God is saying, those are a big deal. There's a problem with your heart when you are angry or you are insulting other people. Also, too, Jesus goes on and says that if we have unresolved conflict with other people, that's also a very serious issue, and that's so serious that can even separate us from God. So what did Jesus say to do? We continue in our text here with one example that Jesus gave. So in verse 23, he said, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." What is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, when we have knowingly done something against someone else, we should go to that person, we should confess what we have done, we should seek their forgiveness, and what should they do? They should gladly forgive us. They should be thrilled that we're coming, that we're admitting what we did, and that we're seeking their forgiveness, and they should be glad to forgive us. And then what can we do? We can go back to the church, and then with a clear conscience, we can offer our gift to God. Sometimes people say, all that matters is between me and God. None of this matters. But what God is saying to us is that all of it is interconnected together. Our relationship with God is connected with our relationship with other people. Now, there are some cases where we might try to reconcile with other people, but they're just not willing. That's a little bit different, but God is saying to us, we should attempt to do it, and if they don't want any part of it, well, at least we did our part in trying to reconcile. But it's important, though. Jesus is telling us that here. And then he has another example. He continues in verse 25 and said, "Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Imagine someone has something against us, and they're like, if you don't work this out with me, if you don't pay me, I'm going to sue you. We don't want to hear about such a thing, but if someone would say that to us, and if it is a legitimate thing that we've done against them, Jesus is saying, do everything you can to work it out with that person. Do everything you can before he actually brings it to the legal system, and now you're in the hands of a secular judge. That could be a bad situation, and of course you have attorney fees and all kinds of stuff like that. So he's saying, do everything you can to work it out. What's that also pointing to? He's saying that we should, even in a more serious way, do everything we can to make sure that we are in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ before we get to the end of our lives. The secular one I mentioned would not be a good situation. Far, far worse for those people who end up at the end of their lives without Jesus Christ. What does it say there in Hebrews chapter 10? It says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's exactly what people fall into when they leave this life without Jesus Christ. Now we go on to the sixth commandment. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent, thus looking at her with a sinful desire," is what he means, "has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So in the eyes of the Almighty God, what is Jesus saying? Sin in the heart is as serious as sin with the body. We might think, oh, what goes on in the heart is no big deal. Who even knows about that? But when you do something physically, oh, that's a lot bigger deal. But Jesus is saying, oh no, both of them are a big deal, is what he's communicating to us. Let's understand, too, that it applies from men to women. It applies from women to men. And I guess in the 21st century here, we have to say it applies from men to men and from women to women. So all of it's covered here, even though Jesus hasn't carefully stated it in that way. By the way, within a marriage, sexual desire is not a sin, but outside of marriage, it is. And then, to illustrate the point even further, notice what Jesus said, picking up in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. I think what Jesus was doing is he was anticipating some people coming to him and saying, Jesus, I'm not that bad of a guy. It's really not me that's sinning. It's really the fault of my eye, or it's really the fault of my hand. So Jesus is like, okay, I've got the remedy for you. Just gouge out your eye, cut off your hand, then you'll be okay, right? Well, he didn't mean that in a serious way. He doesn't want us to do that, because even if I tore out my eye, or even if I cut off my hand, the problem is I still would have a sinful heart. What we need is a heart transplant, and only God can give us that, and he does that through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what all of us are in need of, and when we have it, then we have a pure heart, and we have much to rejoice in. Thank God he doesn't count our sins against us. Thank God they are forgiven, they are covered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on a related topic here, he goes on to the topic of divorce. Jesus said, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. As I understand back a long time ago, for very minor reasons, a man could write his wife a certificate of divorce. Oh, you burned the dinner, I'm writing the certificate of divorce. That's not what God intended, and that's what Jesus is trying to say here. So then he goes on, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now again, it's pointing from the man to the woman, but really it goes both ways. It's more in that culture, it was a one-way thing, but today though, it can go both ways. A couple key factors here to understand. First of all, whenever adultery takes place, what that does is that breaks a couple's one flesh relationship. Remember what God said regarding Adam and Eve, that the two would come together and they would be one flesh. So when adultery occurs, then they have broken that one flesh relationship. Take a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, around verses 18 or 19, I think, and it will talk in there how if a man goes with a prostitute, then he becomes one flesh with that prostitute. So that helps us understand that a little bit better. So again, husband and wife are one flesh, but when there's adultery, then that one flesh relationship is broken. What does divorce do? Divorce ends up being a legal thing to separate the two. So adultery, we could say, physically separates them. Divorce legally separates them. So what he's saying here, he's saying if there is adultery first, the separation has already occurred, so it's okay then to get the divorce because you're simply making legal what has already happened. But then if you turn that around though, and if you have the divorce first, what you've done is now you're legally apart, but in the sight of God though, regarding the one flesh relationship, you're still together. So imagine a couple that is divorced, So legally they're apart, but yet they're still together. So now, if either the husband or the wife is with someone else, that becomes adultery, because again, in the sight of God, they're still together. I hope that makes some sense. I believe that's exactly what Jesus is saying. The good news is this. So when Jesus was on the cross, what did God the Father do? He gathered up all sins of all people of all time, and that includes the sins we're dealing with today. So like anger and lust and adultery and lies, those also got gathered up, those also got put on the cross, those also got punished by God the Father to our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is good news, that in Christ there is forgiveness. Dr. Luther put it this way on this topic of adultery and divorce. He wrote, "It would be far better to admonish and urge both parties to stay together and that the innocent spouse be reconciled to the guilty one." So when there is adultery, there's not a requirement to stay together, because keep in mind, when adultery has occurred, now the couple is separated. So it's okay to get a divorce, but it's even better, though, if the couple would come together again in that one flesh relationship. That's what Jesus is saying, and also what Luther is saying as well. One final topic here, the topic of taking an oath. And when you take an oath, you can easily fall into a lie. Jesus said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." Let's think about what he said there. All of the examples he gave are connected to God. So if you think about it, regarding heaven, earth, Jerusalem, a person's head, are all connections to God. So what people would do sometimes long ago, they would say, "I swear by heaven that I will do what I have promised." So what they're doing is they're connecting God in what they're doing, but then maybe there's another point in life where the person says, "Will you do this?" And they say yes, but they don't do it. And then the person comes back and said, "You said you would do it." And then they're like, "Oh no, I said yes, that's true, but I didn't say it by heaven, so you shouldn't have paid any attention to me." It's almost like the game Simon Says. So if you made a move, but Simon didn't tell you to make a move, then it was wrong. So that's what people were doing, kind of playing tricks with people. So they would say yes, but they really didn't mean yes because they didn't swear to something that was connected to God. Jesus is saying that's ridiculous. The other thing it's doing is it takes away all the integrity of our yes and no. But what Jesus is saying, go back to that. He's saying simply a yes or no is enough. He's saying, if the answer is yes, say yes, stop there, and then do whatever you said you would do. And if the answer is no, then stop there and don't do whatever you said you wouldn't do. Yes or no is enough. Don't swear by anything greater. Now, we do have exceptions to that. And of course, in a courtroom situation, in a secular courtroom, we have to take an oath if we're going to be a witness. That's perfectly okay. That's not a sin to do that. But in regard to other things where an oath is not required, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. And then follow through. That's really what Jesus is saying. Again, keep in mind as I close today, keep in mind Jesus took every sin. He took all of the punishment. Let us know that through our God-given faith in Jesus Christ, let us know that we have the benefits of what he has done. So all of us can probably begin to think of all kinds of sins we've fallen into. And that can pull us down, but then let's point to the cross. Let's think about Jesus. Let's remember who he is. Let's remember what he did. And may God lift us up. May God assure us in Christ we are forgiven. Let's think about our baptism into Christ. Let's think about all the promises in the Word of God that cannot fail. Let's think about receiving the bread and wine, and along with the bread and the wine, the very body and blood that Jesus gave and shed in order to take away the sin of the world. Who is he? He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. So all those different things should assure us that in Christ we are forgiven. And then may God help us to go forward in our lives in ways where we would do like the M verse. Like Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. Let us pray. Father in heaven, since we are sinners from the inside out, we pray for your continued mercy upon us. We pray for your continued forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray for your continued help in how we live as followers of Jesus in the midst of this sinful world. In his name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.